We're glad you're here with us today on the Christian Ministries Church podcast. We pray God's word speaks to your heart today as Pastor Chapman Laxton shares the word with us.
Well, I have a lot of scripture to get through tonight, but I'm really excited because it's just my favorite time of the year. It just really is. I'm a sucker for Christmas. I love Christmas. But I was thinking about what I was going to speak about tonight, I heard a song a little while ago, and it's an older song, but it reminded me of a song that my grandmother used to listen to. The song starts off, it says, "What a difference a day makes. 24 little hours brought the sun and the flowers where there used to be rain." And the song is about how in one day, love came and changed the entire person's outlook because of what happened in the day. And it just got me thinking, you know, has anybody ever experienced that? How from one day to the next day, everything just changed for the better. You just, whoa, I did not see that coming, and whoa, man. You know, we have these times in our lives where I believe that God allows us to experience those things because it's the goodness of God. But, you know, this song is what it's talking about. It's how one single day changes someone's entire life. Of what once was desolate now is filled with life and life more abundantly, you know. And so I want to talk to you about a day. The difference of a day and the difference that a day can make. And I want to start here in Luke chapter 2, verses 4 through 7. It says, "So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who he was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them in the inn." There was a day. That was a pretty good day. A lot of things changed for us after that day. And I get it. We are a New Testament church, and we are several years after this day. But we have to understand the importance of this day and what this day really means to us, because our lives are completely different because of what happened this day. See, the world continually wants to try to cheapen what this day really means. I mean, either taking the Christ out of Christmas or changing what Christmas means, or trying to get us get caught up on, well, we don't actually know the day, or we don't actually know the whatever. And the whole idea is to take our eyes off of what really matters and what we're doing when we celebrate Christmas. And the reason why is because everything changed that day. This day is the second worst day that the enemy ever had to go through. Second worst day. Because the first worst day happened because this second worst day came around. See, because of the birth of Christ and what he put into motion set the ultimate demise for our enemy with the cross and his resurrection. And so why wouldn't the enemy, why wouldn't the world try to do everything that he could through all of his powers that he still tries to operate in to get us, God's people, to be like, "Oh, the Christmas story again? Oh, I know how that goes. I don't." Hannah and I, we were trying to watch she was trying to watch a show with the girls, and one of it's just something you have to do if you're going to watch a show with your kids that you've not seen before. You've got to pay attention. But one of the opening lines in the deal was, "Aren't you just tired of hearing the Christmas story as it's always been told?" And obviously our answer was like, God, we were appalled, but it caused me, as I just was thinking about what I was wanting to talk about tonight. Are we? Are we tired of hearing about the virgin birth? Are we tired? Are we tired of hearing? Have we become so numb to what this day really means for us? Have we lost its relevance to us? You know, Christmas is a memorial. We talked about this in youth a couple weeks ago, but a memorial is different than a funeral. See, what a memorial does is it causes us not just to look back and remember, but it also is empowering us, how am I going to live tomorrow? Whenever I'm remembering and Christmas rolls around for me as a Christian, am I just going, oh yeah, that was a really cool day, and all right, yeah, it's back then. That happened, you know, over 2,000 years ago, and that's, you know, that was then, and this is now. Or am I letting what happened change the way, I'm going to live differently going forward? Because memorials are for people, even the ones we hold on this earth, memorials are for people who are in the grave. But whenever we celebrate Christmas, our memorial is for someone who's not in the grave. He's not in the grave anymore. Do we let Christmas change the way we're operating in? Joshua 4:6. This is the importance of memorials. It says, to serve as a sign among you in the future, when your children ask you, what do these stones mean? Tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off, and these stones are to be memorial to the people of Israel forever. That was a command of God. You should have a memorial to remind you that I went with you into the promised land. Can I tell you that the people of Israel, they forgot that memorial? Even after they promised, we'll never forget what God's done for us. They did. You want to know what changed them? The culture around them. They let the culture around them change them. They let the culture around them influence them. And I want to know, as God's people today, have we quit letting Christmas really mean what it should mean to us? See, this is everything. This is everything. 1 Peter 1:18. For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him you believed in God who raised him from the dead and glorified him so that your faith and hope are in God. The Zoe life only comes through the gift of Christ that came for us and that changed everything for us. Are we living that way? Does Christmas still mean what it should mean to us? When your kids are asking you, what is this all about? You don't understand what happened. There was a Savior given unto us. And he changed everything for you and me. We were purchased by God with the gift of heaven. God did something new for us that we could be called sons and daughters of the Most High. The Zoe life that we've been talking about all year only comes by way of the virgin birth. The difference that a day made for us. It's what God answered for us from Genesis when he said that I will put enmity between the son of man. You will strike his heel and he will crush your head. That's what God said he'd do in Genesis. And it all the way was accomplished at the end when Jesus said in John 19:30, when he received the drink, Jesus said, it is finished. And with that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. From Genesis till that point, this is what God was working towards. And the birth of Christ in that one single day when he came, God was fulfilling the promises that he made to us. The day when Christ came was huge. The day when Christ came was imperative to us. And I get it. I know we're Christians and we talk about Christmas and we explain Christmas, and we should in our homes, but we've got to make sure that we let ourselves get lost in the awe and the power behind what this day means to us every single time. It's okay. It's okay for you to get excited about Christmas still, regardless of what is going on in your family, regardless of what's going on in the world, regardless of where we are at as a culture, regardless of, because do not be afraid. Peace has come to you through the birth of Jesus Christ. And so what I just want to talk to you guys tonight about are three things. Three things that changed that day that are continually to still happen for people as Christ comes to us still. As people are coming to Christ and receiving Him, these three things are still happening, but they happened then and they're still making an impact today. If we're going to continue to live the Zoe life, these are the things that we've got to live like we know them and we live by them and we cling to them. All right? Y'all receive that? So here we go. The first thing I've got here. The first thing that changed was we finally had some good news. We had some good news. You ever have this asked to you? Do you want the good news or you want the bad news first? Sometimes we're like, no news is good news. But no news is good news only when there's no good news to talk about. And when Jesus Christ came, ladies and gentlemen, good news was here. We had some good news to celebrate. I love what Isaiah says in Isaiah 52. It says, how beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation, who say to Zion, your God reigns. Would you believe it that there's been a government study on the impact of good news? Would you believe that? Would you believe that the government has used our tax dollars to study the effects of good news on people? If you didn't know that good news is good for people to know, the government has studied that for us. And let me just tell you, the results are in. Good news is good for people. They saw almost a 100% increase in every person that they tested in this 2016 study in the Hartford. I didn't even pay attention to that. I just got caught up on that. But almost a 100% increase in every single person in group A, where they gave positive news to, as opposed to group B, where all they did was give them negative news. Would you believe? Was that not just amazing to you? Positive news changes people. What they also found was productivity went up. Outlook on life went up. Outlook on the economy went up. The ability to make long-term and short-term goals went up. All because good news. Got some good news. Got some positive things to tell you. Good news is important to hear, and we got good news finally when we found out that Christ came. And it's not just, hey, did you see who won the ball game? Or, hey, did you know this? Or, hey, it's not like any other factual thing that we can fill ourselves with or any silly video we can watch that's like positive, chaotic, or whatever that doesn't really have, it's just like a cat video or something. But this is something that can change your entire life. Luke 2, verse 9. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for I bring good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. Now, you know what the shepherds who heard that didn't do? They didn't go, oh, crud. Oh, no. They got excited. They were empowered, and they said to each other, let us go see what we have just heard from heaven. And they went, and it said they saw, and they were excited, and then they retold their story to Mary Joseph, and then they left talking to each other about how great this was that they just experienced. Good news. Ladies and gentlemen, do we live our lives like we know the good news that's come and been given to us? When Jesus came, it was good news. When Jesus came again to us and the Holy Spirit drew us to God, we experienced the good news. Are we living our lives like that? Are we living our lives like we know the good news? There's good news for us, and it's why we celebrate Christmas. Matthew 1, verses 21 through 23, "And she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for it is he who will save his people from their sins. Now all of this has happened so that what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet might be fulfilled, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which is translated, God with us. Your God is with you. Your God is with you. Are you living like that? Are you living like that, that your God is with you? That changed for us. That changed for us. Our God is with us. And that leads me right into my next point. What changed? What was changed in the difference of a day? He is with us. God is with us. That changed. That changed. God was with us. He was with us. And I want you to understand that's two parts. He was with us physically, but now no longer is he with us physically. But Matthew 28, verse 20, it says, "And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." His Spirit is still with us. And that's what it says, it's confirmed in John 7, verse 38. It says, "Whoever believes in me, as Christ," or as Scripture has said, "rivers of living water will flow from within them." By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. But when Christ came, he was with us. And it said that he would not leave us or forsake us. He said, "I'm not going to leave you as orphans. Whenever I go back up to heaven, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. You're not going to do this alone," is what he was saying. "I'm not going to abandon you." When he came to be with us, he came to stay with us. And he is still with us. His word is still with us. In the beginning was the word was God, the word was with God. And he is still with us. The word is still with us. He is still with us. But the second part of that is that he understands. Whenever we say he's with us, that means he's on our side. He understands us. And I got to be really careful when I say that, because I love Tim Brooks, how he says it. God gets you. Like, Jesus gets you. And he's saying, that's how the culture, Jesus gets you. You don't have to. I want to be careful, but I want you to see how what Scripture says about this. Hebrews 4, verse 14 through 15 says, "Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize." That word empathize is huge. "With our weaknesses. But we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin." Now this is huge, huge for us. He understands our weakness. This is a God, you have to understand, our God, before in the old covenant, had no weakness. It says in Psalms, "I do not sleep and I do not slumber." In Isaiah, "I do not grow tired." But whenever he came and allowed himself to be holy God, yet holy man, he allowed himself to feel what we feel and go through what we go through. That changed. That changed. That was different. And even take it from a different level. Consider what James 1:13 says. "When tempted, no one should say, 'God is tempting me.' For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone." Now this is true. However, when God allowed himself to be holy man, he allowed himself to be tempted. You've got to, this changed everything. Matthew 4, verse 1. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He is with us, people. The reason why he is able to mediate on our behalf, and we'll get to that in just a second, is because he has experienced what it is like to be tempted. Yet at the same time, Pastor Ashley was teaching on it on Sunday, to never think incorrectly, to always have the Word of God, to always keep in mind what the Word of God says first and foremost. Not my will, God, but your will. To wholly and solely be sold out after who he was and what he was called to do. He's with us. He's able to relate to our weakness, thus being able to understand our weakness better. He got tired. He got tired. He felt hunger. He felt rejection. He felt the sting of mockery. He felt pain. He felt temptation. He felt frustration because of having to say no to temptation. He felt weakness. He is with us. And he never sinned. He was whom Job spoke of in Job 9, verse 33. When Job is crying out in the middle of his trial, if there were only someone to mediate between us, talking about God and man, someone to bring us together, someone to remove God's rod from me so that his terror would frighten me no more, then I would speak up without fear of him, but as it stands now with me, I cannot. But it's confirmed in 1 Timothy 2, verse 5, for there is one God and one mediator between God and mankind, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all people. This has now been witnessed to at the proper time. Christ mediates on our behalf because he understands where we're coming from. And he says, Father, they need us. God, they need us. That changed when Christ was born. That changed under the new covenant that Christ ushered in for us. And it leads me to my last point. When Christ came, mercy triumphed over wrath. Jason sang a song on Sunday that always gets me. It always gets me when I read it, and it's called The Manger Throne. And I don't know if you know the lyrics, but the first verse reads, you could have stepped into creation with fire for all to see, brought every tribe and nation to their knees. You could have arrived with a host of heaven in royal robe and crown, and the rulers of the earth all bowing down. But you chose meekness over majesty and wrapped your power in humanity. When Christ came, mercy triumphed over wrath. What we were deserving of under the old covenant by law was death. By law was death. By law was separation. But God chose meekness over majesty. James 2:13 says, because judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful, mercy triumphs over judgment. God wants us to understand the gravity of the position that we were in under the old law without Christ. Before he sent him, we were under judgment. Therefore, how dare we withhold mercy from those in our lives who need it? They deserve my wrath. We deserved God's wrath. We deserved God's wrath. And the only person who ever didn't have it coming asked for it. In the Old Testament, well, let me back up here. Jesus chose when he came into the world to come in on the mercy seat, not the judgment seat. In the Old Testament, the mercy seat was the physical location where the blood of the atoning sacrifices was laid, where it was offered, where it was poured out. And that's where Jesus said, God, lay me there. Lay me there. You know, even if I wanted to come in and save all of you, if I was going to come in, I'd want to come in at like 6'10", 260, just lean, mean, you know, like Alonzo Mourning or something like that. Like, I want to come in, I want people to be impressed. But God chose to come in as a baby. Do you ever think about that? That God literally chose his entrance into the world to reveal himself. God chose to come in as a baby. He could have literally chose any way. Even if he was like, okay, I'm not gonna come in like a general, and I'm not gonna come in and, you know, force everybody, but I'm gonna be a pretty big deal. People are gonna see me coming. He chose to come in as a child. And it's just, it baffles me. But that, it goes again, mercy triumphed over God's wrath. He wasn't looking to condemn the world. John 3:17. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. And in this, the guard of the garden was sent away. And I want to parallel this real quick, because I'm almost done here. See, in Genesis 3:22, this is right after the fall of man. It says, and the Lord God said, the man has now become like one of us, knowing good and evil, and he must not be allowed to reach out his hand and take also from the tree of life and eat and live forever, because we would live forever away from God. And it says, so the Lord banished him from the Garden of Eden to work the ground for which he had been taken. And after he drove the man out, he placed to the east side of the Garden of Eden a cherubim and a flaming, flashing sword back and forth to guard the way to the tree of life. See, what God was saying is, you cannot come now and have a part of the tree of life and live forever. Because if you do, you'll live forever apart from me. And so there was a guard. You cannot access this. You cannot have this. You can have no part of this. You can't live forever, or else you'll live apart from me forever. And God kept people at bay because of our sin. But in the New Testament, because of Christ, we have a different garden. But I want to say first, in John 6, verse 35, it says, then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Now we know what it says in the Old Testament. God said you cannot have a part of the tree of life. Now we have Christ re-identifying himself as the bread of life and saying, whoever would have a part of me will live forever. And now we take that and we go to a different garden. Matthew 26, verse 52. And I want you to see this connection, because this is what changed for us. Mercy triumphed over wrath. Peter draws his sword, you know, they're coming to take Jesus away. And instead of God defending himself, instead of God saying, yes, fight to keep people away from me, instead of God saying, you know what, Jesus saying, I'm out of here, I'm going to call down a legion of angels, he says, put the sword away. Put the sword back in its place, Jesus said to him. For all who draw the sword will die by the sword. Do you think I cannot call on my Father and he will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels? But how then would the scriptures be fulfilled that say it must happen this way? Mercy triumphed over wrath. What was in the Old Testament, under the Old Covenant, you cannot access this because of Christ and because of Him coming. God said, you can have me. I will freely give myself to you because His blood was going to cover us. He knew what He was doing. He knew what He was fulfilling. He knew what He was granting access back to. Okay, it wasn't Eden, but it was a different way of life, an abundant way of life, that through Him, we would have access to walking with God every single day. That changed. That changed. In the difference of a day, that changed. When Christ was born unto us, hope. When Christ was born unto us, peace. When Christ was born unto us, don't be afraid. A Savior has been born unto you. We have to stop letting the enemy, either through us being having contempt because we just get so, we get dulled to the idea of Christmas, or we stop fighting for what Christmas actually means and we forget what it's representative of in our lives and in our minds and the faith that we have, and hold tight to what it means to us. It's not about the presents. It's not about the tree. It's not about families even getting together. And well, this is the only time of all the year that we all get to hang out. That's not what it's about either. It's a memorial of Christ coming to earth. All those other things are just a part of it. And we have to be really careful that we don't cheapen what the day means based off of what's going on in our life. We may be at a time where we can buy all the toys we want and praise God for that. Or you may be at a point in your life where you're like, man, I can't buy all the toys that I want to buy right now. You still have an opportunity to lead your family in what Christmas really means and drive it home. You may be at a place where, we can't have everybody come over this year. Ugh, it stinks. And I'm sorry for that. Or you may be able to have everybody over at your house this year. That's not what Christmas is about. And just like with communion, when we take that as often as we do, and in our minds, we set aside what Christ did on the cross for us. His body was broken and His blood was shed. When we talk about Christmas, a Savior was born unto us. Everything changed for you and I in a single day. Everything changed. And I want us to be encouraged by that this year. Christmas is an awesome, holy, holy time. Don't forget that. Don't forget what it really means.
Thank you for being part of our podcast today. You'll find more online messages from Christian Ministries Church, as well as location information on our website at cmchurch.net. There's a place for you at Christian Ministries Church, where it's more than a church, it's family.